Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
the United Arab Emirates. So UAE as we know them, and I'm just getting really confused now. Dahore is in Qatar, and I think Dubai is in United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain is Manman, something like that. So these are three sets. One's a proper peninsula, one's almost going to be an island, that's Qatar, and one's fully an island, and they're all separate, and then they're all... Britain said, too much in 1971, and all got released, and all have become super wealthy places. So Britain didn't want to protect them. They were protectorates, i.e. stuff which had the British Army. Sort of lining up a few people with rifles against the might of these huge Arab superpowers. Well, England was going bust and broke. So let's go through it. So the age of empire has come past, lived on. So let's read about this. And of course, Bahrain and Qatar are basically family emirates where no one's got any rights. One's a constitutional monarchy, one's an absolute monarchy, and you just get flogged and killed, and there's almost no one there, and a huge wealth coming through. The United Arab Emirates, UAE, or simply something called the Emirates, is a country in Western Asia at the northeastern end of the Arabian Peninsula and the Persian Gulf, bordering Oman on the east and Saudi Arabia on the west. So Oman, Saudi Arabia ends with two countries, Oman and Yemen. Oman's got its own brand of Islam. I really have to read through that to understand it. As well as sharing maritime borders with Qatar and the west of Iran. So it's you know, Iran's a big problem, isn't it? The sovereign constitutional monarchy. So what is a sovereign constitutional monarchy? It's a federation of seven emirates consisting of Abu Dhabi, which serves as the capital, Amjan, Dubai, so there's Abu Dhabi and a Dubai. Ras Al Sharjah and Al Quwain. Their boundaries are complex, with numerous enclaves within various emirates. Far out. Oh, there's actually, I think there's one where there's an enclave within an enclave in Europe. It's just amazing. Each emirate is governed by a ruler. Together, they jointly form the Federal Supreme Council. One ruler serves as President of the United Arab Emirates. In 2013, UAE's population was 9.2 million monster, with 1.4 million Emirati citizens and the rest expatriates. So it's not as bad as Qatar. Qatar is like 1 to 8. Oh no, it is. It's almost as bad as Qatar, fractionally bad. Human occupation of the present UAE has been traced back to the emergence of anatomically modern humans from Africa. It came at around 125,000 BCE, so they got in there before crossing out of Africa. They're just getting out there. Burial sites dating back to the Neolithic Age, the new stones, and the Bronze Age include the oldest known such island site as Jebel Abadus, known as Magan to the Sumerians. The area was the home to prosperous Bronze Age trading culture, including al-Nahr period, which traded between the Indus Valley, Bahrain, and Mesopotamia, as well as Iran, Bactria, and Levant. I don't know what Levant is. The ensuing Wadi Su period and the three Iron Ages saw the emergence of nomadism as well as the development of water management and irrigation systems supporting human settlement on both the coast and the interior. Now, it'll be interesting because Qatar is completely flat. It's a complete fat, sort of 160-kilometre sand dune, whereas I think it's only 103 metres high. I wonder what the highest point is in UAE. And they're getting bigger. more viable as they go further south towards the sea. The water management irrigation system supporting human settlements in both the coast and interior. The Islamic age of the UAE dates back to the expulsion of the Saracens and the subsequent battle of Diba. Wow. The UAE's long history of trade led to the emergence of Julfa, present-day emirate of Ras Al Khaimah, as a major regional trading maritime hub of the area. The maritime dominance of the Persian Gulf by the Emirati traders led to conflicts between European powers, including the Portuguese Empire and the British Empire. Following decades of maritime conflict, the coastal emirates became known as Trucial States, with the signing of a perpetual treaty of maritime peace with the British in 1819, ratified in 1853 and again in 1892, which established Trucial States for the British Protectorate. This management ended the independence of the establishment of the United Arab Emirates on the 2nd of December 1971, immediately following the British withdrawal from the treaty obligations. Six emirates joined the UAE in 1901. The seventh, Ras Al Khaimah, joined the Federation in February 1972. Islam is the official religion. Arabic is the official language of UAE. The UAE oil reserves are the sixth largest in the world, whereas the Qatar gas reserves are the third largest in the world. Okay. Well, the natural gas reserves are the seventh largest. Sheikh Zayed, ruler of Abu Dhabi, and the first president of the UAE, oversees the development of the Emirates and steer the oil revenues into healthcare, education and infrastructure. UAE's economy is the most diversified of the Gulf Cooperation Council, while the most populous city is Dubai, is an important global city and international aviation maritime trade hub. Consequently, the city is much less reliant on oil and gas than in previous years, and is economically focusing on tourism and business. UAE government does not levy income tax, although there is a system of corporate tax in place, and value-added tax is established at 18.5%. I think we've got 10% GST here. The UAE's rising international profile has led to it being recognised as a regional middle power. It is a member of the United Nations, the Arab League, an organisation of the Islamic Cooperation, OPEC, and the Non-Aligned Movement, the Gulf Cooperation. Now, it's interesting that Qatar has left OPEC, right? It's okay, but it's got no oil. And Qatar, it's not amazing, so I'm beginning to, it's good reading these together. And you can see that the cognitive rehab, I sort of, yeah, it's I'm just stuffing information in so it comes out my ears. I'll soon get into theoretical physics, so I can't podcast that one. History. The land of the Emirates has been occupied for thousands of years. Stone tools recovered from Jebel Farah in the Emirate of Sharjah revealed a settlement of people from Africa some 127,000 years ago, and a stone tool used for butchering animals discovered at Jebel Baksar on the Arabian coast suggests an even older habitation from 130,000 years ago. There is no proof of the contact with the outside world at this stage, although in time lively trading links developed with the civilization in Mesopotamia, Iran, and the Harpuran culture of the Indus Valley. This contact persisted and became wide-ranging, probably motivated trade in copper from the Hajar Mountains, which commenced around 3000 BC. Sumerians sources talk of UAE as a home to the Makan or Magan people. There are six major periods of human settlement with distinctive behaviours in the UAE before Islam. It includes the Hafid period from 3200 to 2600 BCE, the Al-Nar culture spanned from 2600 to 2000 BCE, and the Wadi secret people dominated from 2000 to 1300 BCE. From 1200 BCE to the advent of Islam in Eastern Arabia, So three distinctive Iron Ages, Iron Age 1, 2, and 3. Okay, so... okay, yeah, I get that one. So the Iron Age 3 is really the sort of the Greek sort of what we consider ancient history. And the middle period, 300 BC onward, the era was occupied by Achaemenid and other forces and saw the construction of fortified settlements and extensive husbandry thanks to the development of the Fajal irrigation system. What? Oh, well, yeah, so Qatar is a complete desertscape. We are right off. In ancient times, Al-Hazar, today's eastern province of Saudi Arabia, was part of Al-Bahrain and adjoined the Greater Ottoman, today's UAE and Oman. Greater Oman. So, from the 2nd century AD, there was a movement of tribes from Al-Bahrain towards the Lower Gulf, together with the migration of the Azadid Quahati or Yamani and the Quahada tribe groups to the southwest of Arabia towards the centre of Oman. So, there's just lots of people there. But this is way before Islam. Oh no, here we came up to Islam. The spread of Islam to the northeastern tip of the Arabian Peninsula is thought to have followed directly from a letter sent by the Islamic prophet Muhammad to the rulers of Oman in 630 AD, 9 years after the Hijra. This led to a group of rulers travelling to Medina, converting to Islam, and subsequently deriving successful uprising against the unpopular Sassanids. Now, this is interesting. How Islam got a foothold through, there were people holding the people, you know, occupying. Well, it's sort of interesting. What was in that letter, and how a letter can be read by someone, and then people go, yeah. Imagine like it's sort of like, say if I have a letter in a postbox, you know, buy so much electric clean or get your trees chopped down or, you know, I don't know, we'll put a skip. I don't go, yeah. But, yeah, he must have been a great letter writer. Okay. Following the death of Muhammad, the new Islamic communities south of the Persian Gulf threatened to disintegrate with insurrections against the Muslim leaders. The caliph, Abu Kaba, sent an army from the capital of Medina, which completed its reconquest of the territory, the Ridda Wars. The Battle of Dibba, in which 10,000 lives were thought to have been lost, this assured integrity of the caliphate and the unification of the Arabian Peninsula under the newly emerging Russian caliphate. So, I don't know whether it was a religion of domination where it was a simple code, and you see a lot of people, leaders are writing around for a religious code. They sort of almost like an operating system. You bought your computer and you needed to load Microsoft DOS. It was like a people operating system, a POS, I suppose, in my view. In 1637, Jeddah, the area of today's Ras al Khaimah, was an important port and was used for staging post for Islamic invasion of the Saracen Empire. So, it's a Sasanian. So, I've got to find out what the Sasanian Empire was. Were they Christian? What were they? What were they? Blood oath, I've got no idea. The area of Alin Barumi Oasis, known as Tom, was the important trading post for the camel routes between the coast and the Arabian interior. The earliest Christian site in the UAE was the first discovered in the 1990s, an extensive monastic complex on what is now known as the Sirbani Yas Island, on which dates back to the first 7th century. Thought to be Neustrians and built around 600 AD. The church appears to have been abandoned peacefully in 750 AD. It forms a rare physical link with the legacy of Christianity, which is thought to have spread across the peninsula from 500 to 350 AD through the trade routes. Certainly by the 5th century, Oman had a bishop named John, the last bishop of Oman being Etienne. Well, I wonder if there's a bishop named Bruce. I'm sure that we can repopulate the history with, you know, Aussies. The harsh desert environment led to the emergence of the versatile tribesmen, wild nomadic groups who subsisted due to a variety of economic activities, including animal husbandry, agriculture, hunting. The seasonal movements of these groups led not only frequent clashes between the groups, but also the establishment of seasonal and semi-seasonal settlements and centres. These formed tribal groupings whose names are still carried by the modern Emiratis, including, I'm going to pronounce it to you, cover your ears. Your ears are not a toilet, but I'm going to poo in them anyway. Bani Yas and Al Bufala and Abu Dhabi. Oh, Abu Dhabi. Alin, Liwa and East Coast. Dawir and Awe Mir. Al Ali and Manasir in the interior. And Shark Iwin on the East Coast. And Quasim, it looks some fair, look, Quawasim, Quawasim in the north. With the expansion of European colonialism, Portuguese, English, Dutch forces appeared in the Persian Gulf region. They just appeared. By the 18th century, the Bani Yas Confederation was the dominant force in the most of the area now known as Abu Dhabi, while the northern Al-Quasim dominated the maritime commerce. The Portuguese maintained an influence over the coastal settlements, building forts in the wake of bloody 16th century conquests of the coastal communes. Albuquerque. It sounds a bit like Albuquerque, and the Portuguese commanders who followed him, particularly on the east coast of Muscat, Sohar, and Khor Fakkan. The southern coast of the Persian Gulf is known to the British as the Pirate Coast, as the boats of Al-Quasim Federation harassed the British flag shipping in the 17th century to the 19th. The charge of piracy is disputed by modern Emirati historians, including the current ruler of Jahar, Sheikh Sultan Al-Quasim, in his 1986 book, The Myth of Arabic Piracy in the Gulf. If you felt that there weren't pirates, and the British just were just absolutely super annoying, rock up, read this book. Whatever it is, in 1986, very hard to find in bookshops now, I suppose. British bloody expeditions to protect the Indian trade led to campaigns against the Ras al-Khaimah and other harbours along the coast, including the Persian Gulf Campaign in 1809. Aren't they fighting the frogs at this time? And the more successful campaign in 1819. The following year, Britain and a number of local rulers signed a maritime truce, giving rise to the term Truce of States, which came to define the status of the coastal emirates. A further treaty was signed in 1843 and 1853. The Perpetual Treaty of Maritime Truce was agreed. To this was added the exclusive agreement signed in 1829, which made the Truce of States a British protectorate. Under the 92 treaty, the Truce Sheikhs agreed not to dispose of any of their territories except to the British, and not to enter into relationships with any foreign government other than British without their consent. In return, the British promised to protect the Truce coastal from all aggression by sea and with their help in case of land attack. The exclusive agreement was signed by the rulers of Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Sharjah, Ajman, Ras al-Khaimah, al-Quhain, and between the 6th and 8th of March 19, 1892. So you imagine it would take a little while to sign it. They'd be having a few drinks, a few celebrations. Oh, look at that. Oh, time for a snack round of, I don't remember whether they'd play golf or something like that, and then come out and finish off signing. And it was subsequently ratified by the Viceroy of India, the British government in London. Britain maritime policing meant that pearl fleets could operate with relative security. However, the British prohibition on the slave trade meant an important source of income was lost to some sheikhs and merchants. They didn't prohibit it that tough. They were a little, said not. You could have slaves, but you couldn't trade them. In 1869, Quibasset tribe settled in Kawa Udade. I wish I could. The Arabic words were allowed on Scrabble, wouldn't that be great? And tried to enlist the support of the Ottomans, whose flag was occasionally seen flying there. Wow. Kawa and Etel was claimed by Abu Dhabi at that time, a claim supported by the British. In 1906, the British provincial political resident Percy Cox confirmed in writing to the ruler of Abu Dhabi, Zayd bin Khalifa al-Nahyan, Zarid the Great, that Cairo Arab belonged to his sheikdom. Well, there you go. Isn't that absolutely rip-snorting important? And the light's fading at the moment, so I'll get these two things off, World Cities and United UAE. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.